We are living in the end times. The church has to understand the times and know what to do. The Bible contains prophecy about current and future events. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does an exposition of the book of Revelations.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to our exposition of the book of Revelation with Reverend I.T. Matura. We are on lesson 22, which is our last lesson in this exposition. And we are looking at chapter 22, which I've titled The Final Exhortation. Now, I want you to get your Bible one more time, get your notebook. Let's get ready to write notes once again as we learn from the scriptures. I believe you'll be empowered, you'll be edified, you'll be built up by the word of God. Now, I'm going to do an overview of the chapter. Then we'll look at the seven lessons that we can draw out of that chapter. And I believe there'll be a blessing unto you again. Now, from verse 1 to verse 2, the angel showed John a pure river of the water of life. It was flowing in the city. And the Bible says it was as clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, a picture or a type of this, you see it in Ezekiel. There is a river that flows in Ezekiel, and it should be Ezekiel 37, and the river comes out of the temple. It comes from the altar right in the midst of the temple, and it flows out. And Ezekiel says, I saw the river flow, and where the river flowed, there was life. It was a type of this river that we see in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says it proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So it is life proceeding out of the throne of God. You would also almost be, it typifies also the Spirit of God, because water and a flowing river speaks of the Holy Spirit flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 22 and verse 2 says, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for healing of the nations. So on each side of the river there was the tree of life, bearing fruits every month. Imagine, every month there was a fruit, and the leaves provided healing for the nations. Verse 3 to verse 4, a declaration is made that there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, a pronouncement is made that now at this stage in the city of God, new heaven and earth, there shall be no more curse. The curse is over. Hallelujah. The curse is gone. And the servants of God shall serve him before his throne. And what a blessing it will be. Verse 4 says, and they shall see his face. His name shall be written on their forehead. So we shall see the Lord face to face. He shall no longer be hidden from us. Verse 5 says, and there shall be no night there. There is no need for a candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. There is no more darkness. There is no more night. It is day throughout. The light of the Lord will shine upon the saints, and they shall reign. We will reign together with him forever and ever. The Bible says, prepare to reign with the Lord forever. Verse 6 to 7, the angel assures John that these words are faithful and they are true. And God sent him to show his servants the things that will shortly take place. So the angel then assures, this message comes from Christ, that these words are faithful and they are true. I want you, Mzalwan, to understand, we've been studying now the book of Revelation from chapter 1. We are now in chapter 2. And Christ himself has confirmed that these words are faithful and true. You can hold on to these words. They are true. And God watches over his word that he may perform it. And he watches over his revelation that he may perform it. Verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of the prophecy of this book. He is coming, he declares, he is coming quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 8 to 9, John makes a mistake again of trying to worship the angel. You remember in earlier chapters that John wanted to bow down and worship the angel. Now in this stage again, he comes to a place after he had been corrected. He falls down to try and worship. Listen to verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me this thing. So it says, when I saw, when I heard all these things, this revelation that he had experienced, it was too much for him. And he made the mistake. Now, verse 9 says, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. What a blessing. The angel knows who must be worshipped. He says, don't make that mistake. Don't do that. I am a fellow servant together with thy brethren, the prophets, and they that keep the sayings of this book, the revelation, worship God alone. Verse 10 to 11, John is told not to seal the prophecy of the book because the time is at hand. The angel instructs him. The instruction comes from Christ. Don't seal the book. Now, if you read the book of Daniel, when the book of Daniel ends in chapter number 12, there is a portion of the revelation that God says to him, go your way, Daniel, but seal this part of the book, for it is for a time to come. And I believe some of those things that were sealed were not yet time to be revealed, but some of the sealed things in Daniel have been revealed in the book of Revelation. So John is told, don't seal the book. It is a revelation. It is an open book without a seal. Revelation 22 verse 11 says, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Now, this is to allude to that the time is limited. Everyone is to keep his position. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12 to 13, Jesus sounds a warning and pronounces an exhortation. Verse 12 says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. So Jesus says, I am coming. And if Jesus said it, we better believe it. And he says, I have my reward with me. So it is a warning, but also it is an exhortation that get ready. Verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That is our Jesus. He is the Alpha and Omega. There is none like unto him. Before him, there was no one else. He is the first and the last, the author and perfecter of our faith. Verse 14 to 15, there are blessings for obeying the commandments of Jesus, but unbelievers are cast outside. So there are blessings that are pronounced for those that obey and keep his commandments. But those that are unbelievers, the unfaithful, are cast outside. Verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. When we keep his commandments, you remember Jesus with his disciples, when he preached here on earth, you would say, a new commandment I give you. This commandment I give you, it was a commandment of love. He says, he that keeps my commandments. So when we keep his commandments, says, we have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, for without are dogs, sorcerers, warmongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So all these wicked people, full of wickedness, unrepentant, unbelieving, they are cast outside. Verse 16 to 17, Jesus confirms that he is the source of the revelation and that he sent his angel to testify it to the churches. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, I have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is the source. Revelation 22, 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that thirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let the Spirit and the bride is the church, say, come. The church must be calling on him to come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Let him that heareth where you are right now, if you are hearing these words, say, come, Lord Jesus. And he that thirsts, let him come also. Let him come. Let him come and drink freely of the waters of life. Verse 18 and 19. A curse is pronounced to protect the revelation. A curse is pronounced to protect the revelation. You hear it in verse 18. For I testify unto every man that he heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So God protects with a curse to say, don't add to the revelation. It is a complete revelation. Don't add anything that God did not put. Verse 19 says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So also taking away and leaving out things that God has given, there is also, God says, you'll be taken away from the book of life. That is why I tried to teach an exposition from chapter 1 to chapter 22 and preach from the Bible as it is an exposition of what the scripture says and try to bring understanding and clarity. And I hope by the grace of God and by the help of the Spirit, I've been able to do justice to the revelation of God. May God have mercy on my soul. Verse 20 to 21, a final exhortation and blessing is given out. Verse 20 says, He which testifies these things said, surely I am coming quickly. Again, he repeats, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's where we have the word Maranatha. Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Verse 21 then pronounces a blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the grace of the Lord be with us all as we have been going through this book from verse 1 of chapter 1 to verse 21 of chapter 22. Now I want to look at the seven lessons that we draw out of chapter 22. Lesson number 1, God will give his saints access to the tree of life. What a blessing. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more death. There are no graves in heaven. There are no graves in the New Jerusalem. Now you remember when Adam sinned and Eve, they were chased out of the garden. The tree at the center of the garden was the tree of life. And God put a cherubim with a sword to block and protect the way to the tree of life, that no one could go back and eat of the tree of life, since men had sinned and continued to live forever in their sin. But after this, God will give his saints access now to the tree of life, that we may partake of it. That which God had foreplanned for us, we have access to it now. That was the original plan of God. Now, no longer just a garden, but it is a whole city. It is a new Jerusalem, a new earth, a new heaven. Lesson number 2, there will be no more curse. Hallelujah. The curse will be over. Sin caused curses to enter into earth. When Adam sinned, sin curses came into earth. When Eve sinned, a curse came, and she was cursed with childbearing and labors and pains. Adam, the earth was cursed because of him. Thorns began to grow, and he was told, out of the sweat of your head you shall eat food, you shall struggle. And until today, we are struggling and battling. We thank God for Jesus Christ, who came on the cross and carried the curse of the law. So he took the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. But you see that other cases are still affecting people. But in a time to come, God will deal with the curse once and for all. There shall be no more curse. Lesson number 3. There is a blessing for keeping the words of the prophecy of this book. Hey, verse 7 says so. That blessed are those that keep the words of this prophecy. You remember, saints, when we began, chapter 1 pronounces a blessing that blessed are those that read and keep the words of this prophet. So there is a blessing already. You that has been on this journey, reading this book, practicing this book, and just taking time in the book of Revelation, there is a blessing that has come upon your life, and that blessing will continue to manifest. But more than that, we need to keep the words of the prophets. You hear David saying, I have kept your word in my heart, O God, that I may not sin against thee. So it is important that we keep this word locked down in our hearts, that we may not sin against God, but the blessing of the Lord may come upon us. May that blessing come upon your life. The Bible says the blessing is we have access to the tree of life. What a blessing, what a joy. We'll eat of that tree, the tree that Adam had access to in the book of Genesis. It will be given access to us again. What a blessing. So it is God who does this for us. And it is a blessing when we keep the words of this prophecy. Lesson number 4. We do not worship angels or servants of God. Only God should be worshipped. Worship belongs to God alone. I'm re-emphasizing this lesson. We spoke about it in previous lessons, but John makes it a mistake again to try and worship the angel. But the angel corrects him and says, no, don't do that. I am a fellow servant together with the servants of God, the prophets, and those that keep the words of these prophets. Only God alone, Vazalwan, should be worshipped. As we go into this, the times we are living in, already we are there in the end times, where we are experiencing these tremors and labor pains, initial labor pains of what is to come in tribulation. We need not to be misled and deceived by whatever is going to happen. You remember when we looked at the false prophet, how he is going to call fire from heaven, how he's going to cause the statue of the beast to operate. The spirit of the false prophet is already at work, even in our time and in our day, and deceiving many people. That's why you must be alert. We don't worship servants of God. We can honor them as servants of God, but we don't worship them. Worship belongs to God alone. We don't worship angels, Michael, Gabriel, these funny songs of singing about Gabriel and Michael. No. We worship Jesus and God alone. He is the one that deserves the worship. Lesson number 5, Jesus confirmed he is coming quickly and his reward is with him. Vazalwan, it's very important. It is Jesus himself. In your Bible, if you look at those words, they are written in red. And those are some of the final words of Jesus, because the book of Revelation was the last to be written among the New Testament books and letters. John was one of the last, if not the last apostle to die among all the other apostles of Jesus. He was the youngest of them all. Now, these were the last words of Jesus when he speaks. He says, behold, I am coming quickly. Now, some of you then ask, how quick is quickly? Because this has been preached from this time. This is around AD 80, AD 90, when this book was written. Now, if you read the book of Peter, it says, God is not slow in fulfilling his word, as some may think, because 1,000 years is like a day unto the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years. So when Jesus comes and says, I am coming quickly, he is speaking in the dimension where he lives, in the dimension of eternity, where he is not bound by time. But when he looks at it according to our time, it's a blink of an eye. That's why it is the same God who said, Jesus, who was slain before the foundation of the world. Because to God, this we have been on earth for about 6,000 or so years. It is nothing to God, a God who has existed for eternity. What is 1,000 years to God? Do you know that those that study stars say, if we're to use the fastest rocket ship that we have to go to the stars, to reach the stars, the closest stars, it can take more than 1,000,000 light years to get there, to the stars. Light years, 1,000,000 years to get to the stars. What about to get to God? Our God dwells in the realms of the third heaven. And Jesus says he's coming quickly. And he means it. In a moment, he will be here. Now, if you look and measure time, to say 1,000 is a day, it means from Adam to Jesus, was 4 days, which is 4,000 years. From Jesus to our day now is another 2 days, which is 2,000 years. And we are now working towards the seventh day. So we are on the seventh day, and the seventh day is the number of completion. So anytime now, he will appear in the clouds, and we have to be ready for him, because he's coming with a reward. We should not be fearful of his coming, but we should anticipate, and we must be prepared for his coming. We must look forward to his coming. We must be eager to receive him. We must be preparing, watching, and praying, and serving God, not idle, but serving God and ministering the gospel while we wait for him to appear in the clouds. Lesson number 6, Jesus is the source of this revelation, and he did not seal it. What a blessing. I want you to know that this book, the source of this revelation, is Jesus himself. And the center of the revelation is not about the beast. It's not about the Antichrist. It's not about the dragon. This is about Jesus. Remember chapter 1, he says, the revelation of Jesus, that he sent his angel to reveal to his servant and to the churches. So it is a revelation of Jesus. Jesus gave this revelation to the angel to give to John so that it can come to the church. Now, Muzalwan, I hope now you understand that this book was written for us. A number of us had never really taken time to study it or to read it thoroughly and to go through it from chapter to chapter. But it is a great blessing that God has taken us through this journey. We give God the glory, and it is written for us. And may we continue to read, because there is a blessing upon reading it and keeping the words of this prophecy, for the time is at hand, the Bible says. Lesson 7, the revelation brings both a blessing, but there is also a curse to protect it. So it is a revelation that must be handled with care. Someone cannot just rise up and begin to mishandle the word of God like any other scriptures in the Bible. That's why when we began, we gave the 5 principles of interpreting scripture that are very important, that when you interpret scripture, you must interpret it in context. When you interpret scripture, you must understand that scripture reveals Jesus Christ. That's the center of the word. You must understand that the scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can never understand these scriptures. So it is important that we use the principles of interpreting scriptures, and we handle scriptures well, that we may not mislead people. That's very important, because we must allow the Bible to speak and to speak the truth, and only the truth. For the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So that is why it is important that when we preach the word, we preach the truth, and the truth is able to set us free. Hallelujah. And we also share that scripture interprets scripture. That's why you saw I would refer to a number of other scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that help to interpret what we were reading. And that's very important. And we're trying to interpret the Bible well and be able to interpret it accurately, because there are many other interpretations that are around. And sometimes you need to guard against heresy and guard against error. But the Bible protects this revelation to make sure that no one adds to it. The Bible says, anyone who adds, plagues shall be added unto him. Anyone who subtracts, he shall be subtracted also from the book of life. So God and Jesus Christ are serious about this revelation. But don't be afraid. It is not unto condemnation. There is more of a blessing upon this book than anything else. The blessing on those that read it, keep the words of the commandments and the prophets of this book, and those that apply the words of this book, the blessing is there. And may that blessing come upon you and upon your family, that you have walked this journey with me together for the past 22 days. May God bless you according to what he has written in his book. May you be preserved in the grace May you be preserved in the faith. May God give you grace and anoint you in these end times as an end time warrior to preach the gospel, to be one that ministers and brings many people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. May God open your understanding that you may have revelation and insight into the word of God. May God give you wisdom to live rightly in these last days. May God give you understanding of the times in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much. That's the end of our journey in the book of Revelation. There's a lot that we've covered over these 22 days. You know, normally this exposition would last for 22 weeks because it's every Sunday. That would have been 22 Sundays, but we've covered it in 22 days. What a journey it has been. I ask you to go again and revisit and listen to the lessons and study over again, because it was a lot of information. There are a number of things that you missed out. So go back and learn, read your notes, listen to some of the lessons, and continue to learn from the book of Revelation. Our journey ends here. We are trying to put up, we are putting up a podcast, so all these lessons can be available online on a podcast that you can access them. We'll notify you when we have that ready. Then someone requested that we make an audiobook. If we have managed to do that, and if it's possible, we're going to notify you that we have prepared the audiobook. Thank you so much to those that have been giving feedback. God bless you. If you've got a testimony, how God has blessed you, how God has ministered to you through this exposition, do share with us. And I believe that it will be a blessing to many other people. But God watch over you, and God be with you, with your family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more of these teachings, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 355 0334.